present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz.
We start with a crossword clue seen in the Eastern Daily Press and read for us by Charlotte Green.
17 down. Tony, British Prime Minister since May 1997.
Thanks to Barbara Boulder of Lowestoft for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Linda Smith and Matthew Paris. Facing them on my left, Jeremy Hardy and Miles Kington. Linda, why is it a case of Tory, Tory, Tory? Out, out, out.
This is the case of Alan Duncan, allegedly a separate person to Ian Duncan Smith. I don't know, I think there's just a couple of blokes in the Tory party and they just swap the names round and adopt a series of Alec Guinness-style disguises. There's this bloke from the well-known gay hotspot Melton Mowbray, who's come out as gay. I mean, people sort of knew he was a Tory before that, but didn't like to mention it, really. I think people thought, you know, I don't mind you being a Tory as long as you don't go on about it. You know, you're doing it rammed down your throat. You always guessed, did you? Really? Yeah. What? Which?
The Tory.
Oh, the Tory. Is it something to do with him being a Conservative MP?
Yes, yeah. You knew.
Such a giveaway, isn't it?
There are ways. There are ways that somebody knows. I have antennae.
That was your Tory dar, was it? So anyway, he's come out now, and the Tory party, well, most of the Tory party are saying, well, this is marvellous. He's been honest, he's come clean about his disgusting crime, and it's all fine. Except there's this very alarming part of the party, which was referred to in the paper as, oh, some woman, one of these Mrs. Doris Badger Gasser type women, who was known as the former president of the voluntary sector. And I thought, well, isn't it all voluntary? I know their numbers are dwindling a bit, but they're not conscripting people now. We wouldn't go out to a pub round here, be offered a sweet sherry by a stranger, and wake up in a twin set and pearls, rabbiting on about asylum seekers. So anyway, that's what's happening. So I wonder if this means a whole new culture now for the Tory party, that all their traditional events are going to have a nice sort of gay, ironic tinge to them.
Oh, they always have.
Do you think they always have? So, you know, it was like, they'd have bands, would they? Like Village Fate people.
And as Matt in the Daily Telegraph says, the guess the sexuality of your MP score.
I wonder if all the Tories are going to come. I wonder if, like, Michael Howard will come out as a refugee. What?
I'm beginning to think, Jeremy, that any Tory backbencher with a flagging career is now going to come out even if he's straight. It's just his way of getting into the newspapers. Yeah.
The Daily Telegraph said Mr. Duncan's sexuality was an open secret, and this is true, because, amongst other things, it said he wears tightly tailored suits. John Prescott has denied that this means he's gay as well.
No doubt at all about John Prescott.
Oh, he's not gay, he's not even cheerful. Matthew, what are the charges levelled against the banks?
The charges levelled against the banks are that their deals concerning credit cards are so complicated, introductory offers and all the rest, that no one can really work out who's charging more and who's charging less and what's a good deal. But we knew that already.
Yes, we did, so we can skip that question.
My bank used to be horrible. It's nice now. It's a cafe.
Spokesman for the British Bankers Association refuted the criticism in a strongly worded letter and then charged the MPs £25 for sending it. Miles, why were English customs in the dock this week?
Oh, this is the customs and excise people who keep raiding innocent people, or perhaps innocent people, on boats and locking them up and taking away all their booze and say you're actually international smugglers, and most of the time they're not at all. And it's been decided in the courts that they can't actually just arrest people on suspicion. And they've been taking away lots and lots and lots and lots of booze. Now they've got to give it all back. And they've probably drunk it all. So now the customs excise will have to go across the channel to get replacements. And members of the public will be able to arrest them on suspicion.
Yeah, but I couldn't understand this case, Miles, because they are actually allowed to arrest people as long as they have reasonable cause for suspicion. This couple were importing 10,000 cigarettes.
No, 20,000.
20,000.
20,000 cigarettes. and 17 and a half pounds of rolling tobacco.
Yes.
Now, I don't know, is he using them as barbecue briquettes? Why would you need that?
Yeah.
And also, it's no incentive to give up smoking, because you might think, oh, you know, I'm going to pack this in. And they say, oh, no, I've got another 3 years of fags. That's a terrible idea.
So you support the customs and excise?
No, they're very bad people. They're very bad people, and they can have you killed. But I think...
They've got more power than God.
Just if they think you've got 3 bottles of spirits, anything. But I do think that if people are that keen on cheap fags, they should go and live in Ostend, really, and keep to-ing and fro-ing like an idiot.
Officers at Dover regularly hold returning passengers in lock-ins, though having confiscated all the beer and fags, they're the most boring lock-ins ever held. Jeremy, listen to this.
They give me fever when you kiss them, fever if you live alone. Fever till you sizzle. Oh, what a lovely way to burn. Oh, what a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn.
Peggy Lee, 2 points.
Whose poxy decision could leave us all with a small problem.
This is the danger of a smallpox attack, and the government has seemingly bought this vaccine on the basis that the person who sells the vaccine is a major Labour donor, or at least there is that suspicion. Because the alternative one, which the Americans use, is a Soviet-developed vaccine which works against the battle strain of smallpox, whereas the one from the Labour donor is a Formula One racing car. Which cannot be swallowed or injected. So they think it might not be very effective against smallpox attacks. Yeah, when we are attacked by smallpox. They're not very big, you can stamp on them normally.
It's something like that, isn't it? America spent billions and zillions on this state-of-the-art vaccine, and we've got a bottle of calamine lotion. Just rub it on the spots, and if you're out and about, a dock leaf should do.
But it is called Lister vaccine, and wasn't Lister...
Listerine.
He invented Listerine. Listerine. That's right.
And Listeria.
Yeah, and didn't he spill a load of bacteria in the thing and it turned into a... Oh, I don't know.
Shadow Health Secretary Dr. Liam Fox said if these allegations are true, heads will roll. That's the stage just after the rash and the fever start, but before the bit when we die. We start round two with a cutting from the corrections and clarifications column of The Guardian.
In a previous correction, we said an original calculation in which an object grew to 600% was wrong. We went on to say that if something grows by that amount, it's increased 7 times. In fact, both statements are correct. It's the difference in the prepositions to and by that counts. Imagine it another way. If something shrinks by 25%, that is significantly different to it shrinking to 25% of its former self. We also said the original article appeared on July the 7th. It was, in fact, published on July the 23rd.
Julian Cornwell for sending that in. Linda, why have Mancunians proved to be good sports?
Oh, this is because the annual Commonwealth Sports Day and Fete is being held in Manchester, if weather inclement, in the Church Hall. And we've sort of won a lot. We've won the Mrs. Joyful Prize for raffia work, haven't we, in the Commonwealth Games. We've sort of won a few little buttons. It's such a weird idea, the Commonwealth Games. It's sort of shades of empire. And it's our opportunity, it's British sports people's opportunity to feel like Americans for a week. Because, you know, they're all sort of, normally the rest of the time, British sports people are saying, oh, we're so ill-equipped, we've got bad equipment, there's no money. But all of a sudden, we're kings of the world. Only it's about 3 islands somewhere where, you know, they've got no swimming pools and all the poor competitors are all consumptive and have to come and do it in their vest and pants and things. So we've sort of won, but it's a bit of a hollow victory, really, because hardly anyone else has turned up for it.
Well, what about the Bangladeshi sprinters? I don't know what the abbreviation is for illegal immigrants, but they've run off into the night and haven't come. They didn't turn up for their event. Manchester is very difficult to get round.
I was surprised that TV viewers were complaining about the lack of shooting. I think, given it's being held in Manchester, we should all be mightily relieved. I mean, at least there'll be no drugs. I mean, the trainers will be too scared, won't they, to be encroaching on other people's turf.
This is true. Volunteers at the games have to wear a uniform of flat cap and waistcoat and spend all their time muttering trouble at mill and eating fried butties. Miles, listen to this.
Born a poor young country boy, Mother Nature's son. All day long I'm sitting singing songs for everyone.
Mother Nature's Son by the Beatles. Miles, why are poor young country boys better off this week?
I've noticed there's a traditional point in this programme when somebody doesn't know the answer. And I feel proud to be involved in that moment. Well, is this about rural deprivation?
No.
I think it's organic farmers, isn't it?
Mm.
Who are getting a big government subsidy to produce organic food. Of course, Prince Charles will benefit from this move because he's an organic farmer, so that's nice to know. A few quid for him. Because he's a very keen exponent of the organic movement. Has actually been quoted as saying he fears genetic disaster. Well, bless. It's nice of him, isn't it, really, when it's too late for him?
Too many people want to be organic farmers now. I tried for a little while, but foxes ate my chickens, and so that was the end of it.
That proves how tasty they were, you see. If you'd left a load of Bernard Matthews turkey drummers out, the foxes wouldn't have...
It's the biggest crisis to face Britain's organic vegetables since Windsor Castle caught fire. Jeremy, who didn't go down a storm in the desert?
Oh, our tanks are all rubbish. This is marvellous. We've got to have a war against Iraq in the new year, and our tanks don't work in sand. I mean, we might be all right, because so long as Saddam bought his from us... I mean, I know we've got to have a war because America says so, but does it have to be against Iraq? I mean, sure, if we said to America, look, our stuff's not going to work, can we have a war somewhere mild and humid rather than dusty, like Belgium or somewhere like that? See, that's why the Germans have always been quite good at war. Always attack Belgium because it's got fairly mild climate and it's quite damp and there's no dust to get sucked into your...
It's very flat as well, so it's handy for the tanks. I mean, they can just push them along, really.
Yeah.
Wars ever so far in advance these days, don't you?
Yeah,
I suppose that's to get the best deals, really, cheapest flights.
They have to get Sky to buy it and the posters go up, you know.
It's not just the tanks that are rubbish. Apparently, army boots melted in the desert. The boots just melted. They're walking along in these boots. They just fell apart. They're just going...
That's because they're
Saddam
still using...
So Saddam thinks he's being attacked by Billy Smart's circus. Mind you, clowns are bloody scary, aren't they?
Don't you see the strategy behind all this? Tony Blair doesn't want to get involved in a war with Iraq, and he's desperately trying to think of excuses. And he hasn't got very long to go, so the guns don't work, the tanks don't work. We'd love to help you, W. Bush, but we can't. That's the idea. It's a desperate attempt by the British government.
I think he needs to go on Oprah as one of those British prime ministers who love to say yes to W too much. Just no, that's all you've got to say. No, you madman, we don't want a war. That's all. How difficult was that?
They're not going to send in a ground force. They're just going to bomb it. In fact...
Oh, ground force, that would scare them.
If the Americans made a version of ground force, it would be called air force. And it would just involve dropping patios from 20,000 feet, hitting the wrong garden.
According to a report by the Audit Commission, army equipment intended for use in war against Iraq failed miserably when tested during Operation Saif Saria. Half the army's main battle tanks broke down during the operation, though the other one is said to have worked just fine. Matthew, listen to this.
Here in my car, I feel safest of all. I can lock all my doors. It's the only way to live in cars.
Matthew, why will Londoners need to charge their cars up?
Ken Livingstone has won a court battle to proceed with his congestion charges plan, where motorists are going to be charged, I think, £5 to drive into central London unless they can put onto their insurance a co-driver of their car who has an address in central London. So there's going to be a market in people with addresses in central London prepared to be put as co-insurees on these documents. The system.
I think there's always been a pretty lively market for people with an address in central London.
It's bound to fail because the whole system depends on two giant computers talking to each other and Ken Livingstone. Three components, the result of which I would have thought were guaranteed to end in disaster.
I expect now, after that party where we got a bit leery, people are a bit frightened to argue with him, aren't they? Especially near an open window.
He's going to be standing around at Vauxhall Cross demanding £5 off people, holding a bottle of cider in his other hand. Come on, give us £5, you bastard.
Seems a bit much if you don't get 12 roses with it, really.
Well, I have to say, as the only person on this panel who doesn't live anywhere near London at all, I can report the attitude in the country is...
as possibly the only person on the panel who doesn't drive, the attitude at this end of the table is...
If you're going from Streatham, say, to Highbury, if you just drive really quick and you get through in about 5 minutes, we'll let you off. What if in one day you went through it and out the other side and then back again? You got to pay twice?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Cole, blimey. Frank Dobson doesn't seem so bad now, does he? And we were so mean to him. And he's just living on his own now in a bedsit. Sitting there naked, eating cans of tuna with a fork.
Watching Watercolour Challenge.
Ken Livingstone has won a High Court ruling so that his congestion is now no longer blocked. So maybe we'll get rid of that annoying nasal whine. Miles, why wasn't it easy for passengers to jet off?
Easy jet load of passengers in Paris somewhere?
Nice, I think they were.
Mm.
France,
it was Nice.
Anyway.
It was Nice.
France. And they were told to get out of the plane because they needed it for some replacement flight somewhere else, and they refused. They said, no, we're going to sit here on a plane, you know, which has very rarely happened. People are dying to get off normally. I didn't really pay much attention to it because it was boring, basically.
I mean, how much sympathy do we have for these people? This is not exactly a huge upsurge of working-class anger. These are people who've been to Nice for the weekend. You know, what do we want? More cocktails? When do we want them? Before dinner? If it had been a flight from Derry to Luton, you could have had some sympathy for the people. But Nice for the weekend, no.
I don't think he's Tory at all.
What's his name, that boss of EasyJet?
Hassanopoulos? What is it?
Stelios.
Stelios, that's Stelios, it, isn't it?
Yes.
Stelios. He's amazing, isn't he? Because he worked his way up from billionaire boss's son to billionaire boss.
But if you say you're in Streatham, right, and you want to go to Highbury... Let's just say your mum lived in Highbury and she rang and said, can you come and pick me up and run me to the hospital or something? And you went up, did that, and you didn't have time to buy your pass from wherever, from the newsagents or whatever. What happens then? You've broken the law because you've driven into the West End.
Jeremy, I wouldn't worry about it too much. You know you don't like driving when it's dark or raining, so...
I've got a car.
Surely if you're taking your mum to the hospital, you'd have a special note.
60 passengers staged a sit-in on an EasyJet flight in Nice after the pilot told them to disembark so their flight could be given to delayed passengers travelling to Paris. Despite the protest, half the passengers on the plane did leave when they were told to, and now New Labour has approached them asking them to become MPs. The BBC was alerted to the protest by a passenger who would only identify herself as Heidi. At least that was the excuse Nick Ross gave for returning the 0898 call. Before we start the final round, here's a notice seen in Kelso's medical centre.
The Kelso breastfeeding group meeting at the Abbey Row Centre welcomes you in for light refreshments.
To Roland Driscoll for spotting that. Linda, listen to this.
Watch me wallabies feed, mate. Watch me wallabies feed. They're a dangerous breed, mate. So watch me wallabies feed. All together now.
Tie me kangaroo down, sport. Tiny kangaroo down. Tiny kangaroo down. Spot. Tiny kangaroo down.
Linda, why does Rolf Harris need a lot more rope?
Because of the giant marsupials discovered in Australia. A whole range of marsupials, giant wombat, giant kangaroo, 9 foot tall, 32 stone, all kinds of things. All with these great big marsupial pockets so they could go off to Ostend and fill them up with rolling pin. Which is how they then came to be smaller, because they all smoked themselves silly and now they're only about 5 foot. That's this story, I think you'll find.
Is that true?
Mm. Yeah. Every single word.
Clever for a pretty little thing, aren't you, my dear? Expect your husband's very proud of you.
But it's nice that they dig up threats that are extinct. I mean, there's so many news stories about, you know, rats and superbugs and God knows what. At least there's something down there that we don't have to worry about anymore.
Oh, it's extinct, this giant pouch thing.
Oh, good, blimey, yeah, good Lord. I thought, Simon, you might be asking about the giant squids that are taking over the world.
Oh, but you could answer it anyway. That is very scary.
I think
it?
It's funny you haven't asked. I suspect they may have got to you. Maybe a collaborator, I think. Now, apparently, they're taking over the world, and they have eyes the size of volleyballs. That's a strange fact to know about something, isn't it?
And
giant
they've got two
squids.
Hearts, apparently.
Sorry?
They've got two hearts.
Three?
Any advance on three hearts?
Two hearts, they'd be no good with two hearts. That would be a really asthmatic one. Three hearts they've got, and they're as big as this theatre. They're the size of this theatre, and they have sex with sailors.
Paleontologists discovered the remains of a
and
wombat.
They are now your paymasters, Simon.
You can tell from his eyes.
Oh, yeah. Very squiddy round the eyes.
Nobody ever says the other way around. Nobody says, how big is a volleyball? Oh, about the size of a squid's eye.
Does anyone play volleyball apart from menstruating women in white shorts? Only time I've ever seen on the telly anyone playing volleyball.
As soon as the paleontologists uncovered the giant wombat, he was rushed to Rolf's Prehistoric Animal Hospital. But unfortunately, it was too late for the poor little fellow. The find will give scientists a unique insight into prehistoric life in Australia, which until now was based solely on old episodes of Neighbours and Home and Away.
Interesting that they have a Romanian footballer called Pet Rescue, but none called Animal Hospital.
Jeremy, why can man count on his best friend?
Well, it's said that a dog is a man's best friend, especially if he's a lonely bastard. But they can count, but, you know, it's pretty useless for a dog to be able to count, because they can't tell you. No good saying, can you divide up those matchsticks equally into two piles of 30 or something, because they wouldn't understand. And if, like, the dog came up and said, and you say, what is it? What is it, Flipper? Tell us. What is it? What's that? There's some school children have fallen down the old mine shaft. And you say, how many? Now, you're all right if it's four or five. And it'd be like, hoo, 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 hoo. But if, like, there's 20 or 30, you're going to have lost interest, aren't you? Like a whole coach gone down there, you'll think, oh, they'll find their way out, I'm sure.
I heard this professor interviewed on the radio, and the interviewer said, how do you know dogs can count? And he said, because if you show dogs two lumps of delicious food, and then you take away one and show them only one lump of delicious food, they look disappointed.
I must say that it is impressive that they've taken the trouble to learn to count, given that dogs can lick their own genitals. Yeah. I think it's impressive that they've developed a bit of hinterland,
yeah,
really,
I wouldn't
because
bother.
If humans could, there'd be no Renaissance, nothing. No. There'd be no art, nothing.
animal behaviour experts say that dogs can count and their barks are more complex than first thought. Professor Young of the Pontifical Catholic University, Belo Horizonte, Brazil, was quoted as saying, "Sausages." Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
What a fantastic paper, the Romsley Crime Cracker. This was sent in. This cutting was sent in by Steve in Birmingham from the Romsley Crime Cracker, the newsletter for members of Romsley Neighbourhood Watch. To celebrate the Queen's Golden Jubilee, the famous RAF Red Arrows flying display team will be carrying out an hour-long programme of low-level aerobatics over Romsley Village Green on Sunday, June the 30th. If it rains, the event will be held in the Scout Hut.
Matthew.
Deirdre Barker found this in Inside Cornwall. It's an article about the new Marks and Spencer's store in Truro. A beautifully curved staircase in the coffee shop and foyer now leads up to the centre of Stars Restaurant on the first floor. Many people didn't realise there was a restaurant up here before we had a staircase, says... says restaurant manager Ian Matheson.
Miles.
This is something I saw on the Radio Times this week, actually, in one of the film listings. This Indian drama tells the story of a hairdresser who discovers that he can read the minds of his customers in English and Hindi with subtitles.
Jeremy.
This was sent in by my friend Nicolette, and it's from her scooter manual. She's got an Aprilia scooter, like a proper, like, Italian espresso one. And it says here, the vehicle is made up of not edible parts. Never, never bite, suck, chew or swallow any part of the vehicle for any reason.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores. Jeremy and Miles have 12 points. Linda and Matthew, runaway winners this week with 16 points. Yes. Before we leave you, here's an advertisement seen in the Dorset Echo by Jean Waller.
The Danmore Lodge Care Home. Short stay or long-term requirements fulfilled. Hydrotherapy baths, qualified massage, aromatherapy and reflexology, whilst active night staff cater for your additional needs.
That's goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Miles Kington, Matthew Paris and Linda Smith. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by George Poles and Paul McKenzie. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.